Good morning. Put this here. I'm going to try to speak as slow as I can so my voice doesn't go. Because sometimes I have problems with my voice. It doesn't last very long if I speak loud. Let us go to the word to the Lord in prayer first for his assistance. And Father God, we come before you this morning, Lord. By your grace, recognizing that you're holy, 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 Father. And we thank you because you have provided Christ to us. And it's because of Christ that we come before you. To thank you, Father, to give you praise, to thank you for your mercy and your grace towards us, Father. We now pray for this Bible study here as we look at your word and look at Christ at the same time because he is the living word, Father. And we come before you that you might fill us with thy Holy Spirit, that your Holy Spirit might be our teacher, for he is the author of the scriptures, Father. And we come in great need of you, who only is our teacher, Father. We want to learn from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us go to Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, and as the pastor has suggested, to read a chapter of Proverbs every day. And this month, chapter 15 is today's Proverb chapter. And we're just going to look at a few verses in chapter 15. There's a lot of verses in that chapter. It would be too long to look at each verse. But of course, foremost, when we come to Proverbs, it is a book that I believe takes us to Christ. Because the more we read it, I don't know about you, but the more I realize that I'm not wise, that I need wisdom from God. And that's why it drives us to Christ. It drives us to the wise one. It drives us to him. And so it kind of works as law does. It shows us who we are and who we're not and who we need from. We need from Christ. We need to hear from him. And as in Proverbs chapter 15, we're going to look at a few verses. The first verse that we're going to look at is verse 3. Verse 3 in Proverbs 15 says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on evil and the good." We find that nothing escapes God. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. Everywhere at the same time. And when it says that he's keeping watch, it doesn't mean that he leaves heaven and leaves heaven and comes to earth to look. No, he sees from the place where he's at. He sees everything. He sees every evil. He sees every good. And this could be good news and it could be bad news, right? Because when he sees everything, means he is also a judge of everything that takes place. And if we go to 2 Chronicles, we're going to see something similar to this teaching. 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. Well, actually, I'm going to read from 7 through 10 to read the context. 2 Chronicles 16, 7 through 10, it says, "And at that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, the king of Judah, and said to him, 'Because you have relied on the king of Syria and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hand. Were the Ethiopians and the Libyan not huge army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. And this you have done foolishly. Therefore, from now on you shall have wars. Then Asa was angry with the seer and put him in the prison, for he was enraged at him because of this. Asa oppressed some other people at that time. So here we see that God is everywhere, seeing what everything that happens. And here he gets punished, he gets judged because he did not rely on the Lord. He thought that he could help himself by doing a deal or negotiating with another king instead of trusting God. When I said bad news, I said that he sees every sin. But the good news is that he sees us. He sees what happens. He's sovereign. So he's aware and also in control of all our circumstances. There's nothing that escapes him. When we pray to the Lord, we're not letting him know something that he doesn't already know. When we pray to the Lord, we seek his help. We are recognizing our needfulness of him. We are coming to him because he supplies our needs. And he needs to supply all our needs, especially the spiritual needs that we have. In Psalm 33, we also see something similar to his presence. In Psalm 33, let's go to Psalm 33, we find, starting in verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. This is very important, their cry. Why are they crying? They're crying because they're not righteous in their own eyes. They're crying because they need mercy. They need grace. It says, the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out. Notice what the righteous do. They cry out to the Lord hears, and the Lord hears, and delivers them from all of their troubles. The Lord always delivers his children from all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. This is another characteristic or another result of the Lord saving someone. The broken heart, and saves such as that have a contrite spirit. This is what, and this he delights in because this is his work. This is the work of the Holy Spirit in the believer, is to make him have a broken heart, make him have a contrite spirit. The believer has a broken heart because they see their sin. By God's grace, is able to see some of our sin, and we know that we need grace. We know that we need mercy, and this is a work of the Holy Spirit in us. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of all of them. This is what the Lord does. He delivers the believer out of all of their afflictions. And the afflictions are many. And do you think that that is not by God's design? Of course it is. Of course it is. Because he demonstrates that he delivers us from those afflictions. He wants to demonstrate his love and his grace towards us. So there are many afflictions. And these afflictions are God ordained for his glory and for our benefit. And the last verse in that chapter of that psalm, the Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. That's the key, to trust in him. So the believer, when he's brought to this truth that the Lord sees everything, this is a comfort. It's a comfort to the believer, because the believer knows that God is aware of all our circumstances, of all our afflictions. And in Proverbs, going back to Proverbs 15, We're going to see that in Proverbs 15 and verse 11 also says, hell and destruction are before the Lord. So he's present everywhere. Hell is his will, destruction is his justice, and they're all before the Lord. This is not by Satan's design. This is not Satan's will. This is God's will. Hell and destruction are before the Lord. If hell and destruction are before the Lord, how much more are the hearts of the Son of Man? He sees the hearts of men. He sees their condition. There are only two types of hearts. There's the wicked heart that we got from Adam, and this is the heart that follows after Christ that we have gotten in the new man. His creation. What he has provided. And those are the hearts that he sees. So it says in that verse that he sees evil and good. And that seems to be a contrast in Proverbs. In Proverbs 12, for instance, I'm just going to read a few verses here, that there's always a contrast, right? In Proverbs 12:2, it says, the good man obtains favor from the Lord, but the man of wicked intentions, he will condemn. That's Proverbs 12:2. The good man obtains favor from the Lord, but a man of wicked intentions, he will condemn. We see that contrast again in verse 5 of Proverbs 12, where it says, the thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsel of the wicked are deceitful. We see the contrast in verse 17, same chapter. He who speaks the truth declares righteousness, but the false witness is deceit. He who declares the truth, who is the truth? The Lord Jesus Christ is truth. And he declares righteousness, and the preacher of God's word declares where righteousness is. It is in the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. And him is who we seek, the Lord Jesus Christ. The false witnesses deceit. False prophet always deceiving, always telling you that it's you. That it's you, you, you. You make the decision. You do what's good. You seek God. You have to do this. You have to do this. And it gives credit to you. That's a deception of Satan. So there's a contrast there between the evil and the good. And it says, we go to the next verse, verse 8. We see, we go back to Proverbs 15. And we jump to verse 8. Verse 8, it says, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. I'm going to talk about this because this is what goes on every Sunday and throughout the week as well, when people that are not in Christ do sacrifices. They come to church, they sing, they do whatever they want to do in church. They are doing sacrifices. And one might think, well, sacrifice is good, isn't it? Didn't God said in the Old Testament to do these sacrifices? But they are an abomination to the Lord. An abomination to the Lord because they're done by the wicked. They're not done in Christ. They're not done looking to Christ. They're not done in faith. And they are abomination. Number one, because it comes from a deceitful, it comes from a heart that is wicked. And number two, because we are wicked, you tend to look at it as good, right? These sacrifices that the wicked do, they rest on these sacrifices. They look at them as righteousness instead of looking to Christ. They look at what I'm doing. And that's why it's the reason why it's an abomination to the Lord. The next verse, it also says that the way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. So there's three things. There's the sacrifice of the wicked, the way of the wicked, and also the thoughts of the wicked. And the wicked, who are the wicked? Anybody who's not in Christ. Anyone who's not looking to Christ as his righteousness. Anyone who's not looking at Christ as his representative before God. They're wicked. Why? Because we're all born wicked. Ever since Adam fell, everyone has the same nature that Adam had. Our representative had sin, he fell, and his nature traveled through all mankind. Sinful nature, a nature that's against God. And we have that nature. We were born with that nature. And by God's grace, in the new birth, looking to Christ, God gives us that new nature, that nature of Christ, that nature that's united with Christ. And only then can we have faith. Only then can the Lord be pleased, because it's everything that we do it in faith. We do it looking to Christ, not looking at anything that we do in order for God to save us or to give us credit. So the sacrifice of the wicked is abomination. The way of the wicked is also abomination. A way is just a course of action, behavior, direction, the path, a pattern of life. It's all an abomination to God. It's all abomination to God if the person is not in Christ, if he's not looking to Christ for everything. That is how God sees the wicked. And again, the wicked, we're not thinking the wicked of somebody evil, right? Because when we read the wicked, we tend to believe on a murderer or somebody that's really outwardly wicked. But the wicked is simply anyone who's not in Christ. Anyone who's not in Christ is wicked. But then we see in verse 8, the contrast here, and we see it also in verse 9. But the prayer of the upright is his delight. The prayer of the upright is his delight. We see that also in Proverbs 21:21. Proverbs 21:21. It says, he who follows righteousness and mercy finds life and righteousness and honor. That's Proverbs 21:21. So who's the upright? The upright is he who looks to Christ. He who's trusting in Christ. He who God has redeemed. He who has Christ's righteousness accounted for him. Not their own righteousness, but Christ's righteousness. It seems to be a delight to God, because our prayer to God is a result of his work in our lives. It's a result of his work. Your flesh, your sinful nature does not pray. Your sinful nature, all he does is sin. Sin, sin, sin. That's all. And it's wicked. Our sinful nature is wicked. But God sees the prayer is his delight, because we come to him and we rely on him. We come in for him to meet our needs. And he likes a lot more to meet our needs than to make demands on the other believer. He wants to meet our needs. And that's why one of the reasons why the prayer of the upright is his delight, because we're looking to Christ when we pray. We are not coming to God without Christ, because you have no access to God the Father without Christ. So we come to him looking to him. So in Proverbs 15:29 also, it talks about that, and it says that the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. And again, he hears the prayers of the righteous because of what Christ has done. What the Lord Christ has done. He has given us access. He has broken that partition between the holy and the holy place, and the most holy place. Christ has done that. at the cross, he has done that. So he is always ready to provide for us, ready to provide our needs. He wants to provide our needs. He wants us to look to him for everything, for all our provision. And he delights doing this. In Psalm 34, it's a beautiful psalm. Let's go to Psalm 34. We find that he says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. Now, something about the righteous. It's interesting how the wicked don't see themselves as wicked, right? They see themselves as righteous. And the righteous see themselves as wicked. Isn't that true? The believer, even though God sees you as righteous, and you are righteous in Christ, we don't see ourselves as righteous, right? And that's because the Holy Spirit reveals our sin. We see our sin. But the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. This is God now. His ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off and remembrance from them on the earth. When I read the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, I think that the believer is automatically looking at themselves, right? I do evil. But sometimes we forget we look to Christ. Christ has taken care of our evil. Christ has paid the penalty for our evil. Our sins are thrown away by God, and they are thrown away in the deepest of the sea that he cannot see them, he cannot remember them. So when God looks at us, first of all, how God sees things, that's the way they are. And he sees us, he does not see evil in us because of Christ. Christ took our evil. So he says to cut off the remembrance from them from the earth. The righteous, what do? They cry out and the Lord hears. This is a promise. They cry out and the Lord hears us and delivers them from all of their troubles. We read that before, didn't we? From all the troubles he delivers us. And which is our greatest trouble, by the way? Our sin is our greatest trouble. And he has already delivered us from our greatest need. Our greatest trouble is our sin. And he has taken care of that in Christ already. So from that perspective, we have no trouble left, really. You know, we have temporal troubles that I think Pastor Greg mentioned that they're not really troubles, called time. Time fixes it, right? With time, they get fixed. So the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. This is another fruit of what God's work in the believer, a broken heart, and save such as have a contrite spirit. So here we find that the Lord delights in this prayer because he's the one that creates it in us. He brings us to us. He loves. And then in verse 9, says in Proverbs, back to Proverbs 15 and verse 9, we find that he loves. What? Who did he love? He loves him who follows righteousness. And what is to follow righteousness? To follow righteousness in Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, we find that he talks about this. The Lord Jesus Christ says in Matthew 5:6, blessed. Matthew 5:6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. This, if you see all the Beatitudes, they're all a result of God's grace in the life of a believer. So we are blessed. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. How does he fill us? He fills us with Christ. Christ fills us. Christ satisfies us. And who creates that hunger and thirst? God does. This is the work of God. That's why he delights in that hunger and that thirst. Because if it wasn't for God working our lives, There will be no hunger and thirst. We look around, we see our family, we see our friends. They have no hunger for Christ, no hunger for righteousness. Why? Because that is the default. That is how we're born. That is what's natural in man, not to seek. But he who seeks after righteousness is nothing but the believer. The believer seeks after righteousness. He seeks after Christ because he sees no righteousness in himself. He finds no righteousness. And of course, this is also the work of God. Those are all the results of God's grace. Now, what does God delight in? What else does God delight in, or he's pleased, or how is he pleased with us? Well, we look in the New Testament to Hebrews, the book of Hebrews. And we're going to find in Hebrews 11, 5 and 6. Hebrews 11, 5 and 6. It says, by faith Enoch was taken away, so he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. But before he was taken, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. Immediately after that is the explanation of this. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. But without faith, this faith that God gives us is a gift of God, and it's a result of his mercy and his grace. And we look to God, God is pleased with the faith because he provides the faith. He provides that faith. And that faith looks away from ourselves and looks to Christ. Looks away from our works and looks for his works. Looks away from anything from us and looks to Christ. We see our sin, but we look to Christ by faith. He takes away our sin. He handled our sin in the cross of Christ. So it is impossible to please God without faith. That's why the wickedness, that's why he's not happy, he's not content, he is, there's only wrath for those who do not have this faith that God gives. That faith is totally in Christ. And he's pleased with his work. In Hebrews 13, we go a little further. We go to Hebrews 13 and we look at verse 20 and 21. And this is the writer of Hebrews writing to them. This is like the farewell. This is the closing. For may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, the great shepherd, this is our great shepherd, is the Lord Jesus Christ, of the sheep, of only the sheep, through the blood of his everlasting covenant. This blood is of the everlasting covenant. Why is it everlasting covenant? Because it was from the everlasting past to the everlasting future. This covenant has been in place. Make you complete in every good work. Watch this. To do his will. Working in you. Notice, working in you. This is God working in you. What is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, whom be the glory forever and ever. So why is God pleased? God is pleased because he is the one working in us. He is the one working through his sight through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's pleased with himself, with what he has done with us. Because the life of believer brings glory to Christ, and everything basically is made to bring glory to Christ. And a believer having faith brings glory to Christ, because that is not of our own. We were lost. And it is his work. In Philippians 2:13, the same concept. Let's go to Philippians 2:13. In Philippians 2:13, we find the same. We find this truth. For it is God who works in you, both to do will and to do for his good pleasure. This is God working in us. This is not us drumming up anything, but this is the work of God for his pleasure, for his glory, and that's why he's pleased. And in 2 Thessalonians 1, and this is the last scripture, we're jumping around a lot, and this is going to be a short study. And 2 Thessalonians 1:11 says, therefore pray always, therefore we also pray always for you that our God will count you worthy of his calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, may be glorified in you and him, according to the grace of our God, our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what pleases God, his glory, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we read Proverbs, we find that wisdom that Proverbs talks about is unattainable without Christ. It's unattainable without God's grace. It's just unattainable. And we in the New Testament, we find that the Lord Jesus Christ is our wisdom, right? It's progressive revelation. We are blessed to have the scriptures in the New Testament to teach us that it's all about Christ. That if we see Christ, we have everything. So that wisdom is not a type of wisdom that you're going to try to study and try to do your best to follow it without Christ. Because you have to go to Christ. In Christ is all wisdom. And he is the one that gives wisdom. He gives wisdom by grace. But that wisdom doesn't come outside of Christ. It doesn't come outside the gospel. Because it just is a God-given wisdom that prophets is talking about. It's not a wisdom that philosophers could get to. It's a God-given wisdom. May the Lord bless you to his word.